Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the top. There's Vaya Bayoma. Who? So the Rashi just points out, why are we going back to Agadata? Because we were mentioning someone who left Yerushalayim. The Gemara is not going to talk about Agadata. Then in time of Mashiach, the Yerushalayim is going to increase in size, that we're going to extend the borders of Yerushalayim. So says the Gemara, Vaya Bayoma. Who? Loya or Yikaros Vikipaon. This is a pasuk in Zechariah talking about Yemosa Mashiach. This pasuk, is talking about the milchama between Gog and Magog, which is right before Mashiach. So the pasuk says that on that day there was going to be no light, lo ya or yakros v'kipon. There's not many yakros and kipon. So what is yakros and kipon? So Rashi says over there that lo ya or yakros and kipon, there's going to be no bright light. There's going to be a dim light. There's going to be something very dim. So the Gemara is going to give other interpretations. The Gemara asks, my yakros and kipon. The Gemara asks, what is this lashon? So the Gemara answers, I'm Rabbi Lazar zeh or reference to light of the sun. Shiyakar b'olamazah. The lashon of yakar said is that it's very valuable. We know how yakar, how precious it is to have sun in the world. V'kafoy lo ma'aba. But in the world to come, it's going to be insignificant. You don't need it. You don't need it in the world to come. And therefore, the pasuk is telling us that we don't need that type of light in the world to come. Marsha explains that this whole pasuk is a metaphor. That this whole joshua, rather, of the chazal over here is a metaphor. It's a reference to Torah. That the pasuk is telling us that the Torah, which is difficult in this world, is going to be very easily understood in the next world in Olam Haba. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara gives another explanation. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Elu Negaim Va'olos. This is also, according to Marsha, this is a hemshech of that. The Negaim Va'olos are extremely difficult mesechtas. So this also is a reference to the difficulty which you're going to have in Negaim and Olos. Sheyakrin b'hein b'olam hazeh. They're very difficult in Israel. V'kfuyen hein lam haba. Again, so this is just going to be an extension of what the previous idea was according to Marsha, that this is also talking about very difficult mesechtas to learn, and yet they're going to be easy to understand in the world to come. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar, Eilu b'nei Adam sheyakrin b'olam hazeh. No, it's talking about people who are very yakar. They're very, Rashi said, they're very famous. They're very rich and famous. However, they are not tzaddikim. So what about these people? V'kfuin l'mava, in the world to come, they're going to be nothing. Nobody's going to care about them. All the rich and famous people that we know by now, nobody will care about them in Olam Haba. So the Gemara continues, Ki hadar of Yosef, Rei Rabbi Yosef ben Levi. It's a famous story. Rav Yosef was with the son of Rabbi Yosef ben Levi. Chalash v'isnagid. He became sick. And then he had like a near-death experience. You know, that they have people who had this, where they see things. The people who mamish could see family members, different things. You could see people interviewed who had these near-death experiences. They mamish have a scene of Olam Haba, or the next world, some sort of state of the next world. So this happened too. Rav Yosef. So they asked him, Kiadar Malay Avua. So he came, he regained his consciousness, and they asked him, are you okay? My chazis, what did you see over there? He said, I saw the next world, Amalei, Olam Hafuch Reiti. Yeah, I saw the next world, but it was upside down. Elyonim Lamata, those who are so chashuv in this world are nothing in the next world. Nobody cares about them. All the rich and famous people, nobody cares about them. Tachton Lamala, the lowly people, the people with the simple jobs, are poor, and they're very poor, yet they are considered very chashuv in the next world. If Moshe Feist is a beautiful drasha in Drash Moshe, he wonders what exactly, why does he use Olam Hafuch to describe the Olam Haba? If they should have just asked him, what exactly is the world to come? What is the Olam? He should have just said, I saw Olam Haba. What does it mean that I saw Olam Hafuch Ra'iti? Just tell him what you see, that the people that were rich were poor, and the people who were poor were rich. Why do you say Olam Hafuch? So Rav Moshe answers that Rav Yosef saw that even people who were truly worthy of being, who he thought were simple in this life, that they reached their full tafkid, and therefore they were getting the chashivas over there. That's what it means. It's about potential. A person is not necessarily, they're not gonna, this is a famous Rav Zusha. So that Rav Zusha says the same fort. Those famous brothers, the Noam HaLemelech, Rav HaLemelech Malazhensk, and his brother Rav Zusha. So Rav Zusha always used to say, I'm not afraid that after 120, they're gonna ask me why I wasn't Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. They're not afraid they're gonna ask me why I wasn't Rav Moshe Feinstein. I'm not Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'm not Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. They're gonna ask me, where was Zusha? Where was all your potential that you had? That's what Rav Moshe is saying over here. That's all the mafach over here, that people we thought were not, people who learned maybe one daf of Gemara their whole life, that was their potential, that's all Hashem expected for them, and they're getting full Olam Haba. As opposed to others, we see they finish Shas three times, Hashem expected them to finish Shas six times in their world. So we have to be careful to think, not just to reach our potential, whatever we think our fullest potential could be, to continue to strive to grow. A very beautiful word from Moshe. So the Gemara continues, Amar Lo, Rabbi Shimon Levi responded to his son, Bini, Olam Bora Isa, did you see a clear world? Vanan Echiasam. So if you saw something like that, so then what were we like? What were the Talmidei Chacham over there? So says, no, don't worry. Just like over here, people give you chashivas, so too in the world to come, you also have chashivas. Rashi again explains that we're talking about both worlds. In the Olam Halazeh and Olam Haba, you will have a tremendous amount of kavod. In a chalami kavod. So the Gemara continues, Shemati Shayu Omrim. I also heard that they said, Ashrei mi shebalakan v'talmudu biyado, someone who comes over here and has his learning. It's referring to someone who reviewed his learning and is able to, you know, pass the test, the Bechinas Shamala, then you'll know you're learning. Others explain, and Maharsha explains that literally it means that someone who writes down his learning. The Achronim are very into this, and the Gedolim always said, encourage those, especially, you know, even if Haaretz and Daf Yomi, everything should write down. Because we'll be able to bring our notes, that's what they bring down. In our test Shalmala, Hashem will give us the opportunity to bring our notes. If you have none, then you're stuck. But if you wrote down notes, Hashem will give you the opportunity to read your notes. Some explain that obviously you're Jewish, but in this Agadita. The Marketing of Shemati Shay Omrim, Haruge Malchus in Adam Yachal Amad Mechitzasim. Also I heard that people who are killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, by the government, then there's nobody who could stand as close to them. Meaning they have the highest level of Kiddush Hashem, they're the highest in Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, Amayinu, who are these holy people that you speak of? So Ili Mirabi Kiva Vachaveira, we're gonna see Rabbi Kiva and his, you know, the famous Asura Hemgamalkos. We talk about Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av and different piyutim about the Asura Hemgamalkos as a kapara. We daven for that. So them, they're obviously in the highest levels of the Mechitza of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, but that implies Mishum Haruge Malchus Visulo. That implies that they were only on such a lofty level because of the fact that they were killed by the government, the Roman government. However, if not been for that, they wouldn't have been on the highest level. That's not true. We know that the Rabbi Kiva Chaviro, they're the holiest tzaddikim. Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol and all the biggest tzaddikim of the world were killed in that. So it can't be that their only merits were the fact they were killed. Al Kiddushim. So who are we talking about? Haruge Lod. The Haruge Lod, the people in the place of Lod. Rashi explains what the story was. It gives a little bit of the derech of the story. So they weren't necessarily the most special people. But one time during the Romans were, again, conquering over Israel, so the emperor's daughter was found dead. And the Jews were accused of murdering the daughter. So therefore, he said that I'm going to kill the entire town unless they find the murderers. So in order to save the people, so there was two righteous brothers, two tzaddikim, who didn't actually do the murder, but they falsely admitted to doing the crime in order to save the whole city from being killed. So that's the big tzaddikim over here that are in the, and nobody can be in their mechitzah. Rav Yashar just points out, we see that apparently you have the right, because normally if there's bikuach nefesh and a person says that I'm going to kill you, you're not allowed to actively do that. You're not allowed to actively kill yourself in order to save other people. That's the whole shaila in general, when to apply that. But we see over here, Barabin, that's clearly a mutter. That's what Rav Yashar said. Not only do we see it's mutter, but it's inyan gadol. They were in the mechitzah of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the highest level, that for doing this maisa. Again, they were regular people. I'm sure they were nice people, but they did nothing else special. They were the highest level in the Olam Haba because they did this. Rav Yashar points out, clearly to save the Rabbim, you are allowed to kill yourself and allow yourself to be killed in order to save the tzibur. The Gemara continues, Al Matsulos Hasus Kedosh Hashem. So now we're continuing that psukim. And once we're discussing that parak in Zechariah, we're talking about again, this is also talking about Mashiach, after Shalayim had been saved from Gog and Magog, they're going to bring many korbanos in the base of Mikdash. So the pasuk says, on that day, they're going to bring Matsilos, we're going to see what that is, of horses to that are going to be Kodosh Hashem. So Gemara asks, my Matsilos, so what does it mean, these Matsilos of the horse? Gemara says, Rav Shimon and Levi, Asikash Baruchu, Lahosif Al Yushalayim, Oh, Chazir Ratzim Matsil. So now we're talking about over here, that in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to expand Yerushalayim until the point that a horse can run from the shadow of under itself. So that is apparently a pretty far distance. So we're saying that Yerushalayim is going to be extended, the border of Yerushalayim. Another, maybe that's already a kiyum now somewhat, maybe when we're Shalashiach a little bit. Yerushalayim is extending and extending and extending. We see that from even remote and places far out are places which even Ephrat is a shayla at this point, because you could have extension of houses. Again, but Yerushalayim is continuing. Maybe that's what's going on in the psukim. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Elazar Amar, Kol Matzilos Shetolin Lasus Bein Anav Yeh Kodesh Lashem, that all the bells that are hung between the eyes of a horse become Kodesh to Hashem, meaning you're going to donate it to Hashem, that in the times of Mashiach, people are going to remove these bells and donate them to the Beis HaMikdash. And where it says a third explanation, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol Biza Shebozein Israel, all the spoils which Israel are going to take over, Ad Shash Asus Ratzim Atzil, even to the ones that a horse is taking and taking from the shadow underneath itself, even meaning that by Chatzos, Yeh Kodesh Hashem is going to be Holy Kodesh Hashem, that they will donate all these spoils to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam Alamanda Amar, Kol Biza Shebozein Israel. So now I understand, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's all talking about the spoils of the spoils people are going to donate to the Beis Hamikdash. Hayna Defsa, the pasuk makes sense. And the Hemshech, the next few pasukim later, Vaya Siros Beis Hashem Kizrak Lernei Mizbeach. The pasuk says the pots of the Beis Hamikdash are going to be like bowls before the Mizbeach. The altar, meaning that the donations of the Beis Hamikdash are going to be so great that even the pots which were used to cook the Basar Kodesh are going to be made into silver and gold, meaning even the simple things that they're using, not even for the direct avodah of the Beis Hamikdash, but just cooking, is going to be turned into gold. But according to the one who says that we're talking about the first two explanations, not Rabbi Yochanan, so that meaning that it's talking about the expanse of Yerushalayim or giving the horses bells, what does it mean? That the pots in Yerushalayim are going to turn, they're going to be like these bowls that are going to be so fancy with the gold and silver. So the Gemara explains, they're explaining that this is a different point to Misara Yisrael, that Yisrael are going to get very rich, not from that pasuk, they're just them. Klal Yisrael is going to get very rich. They agree at the end of the day that they're like Rabbi Yochanan explains, but they're just saying that this is a second point, though, that Klal Yisrael is going to become very rich, and that ability to become very rich is going to give them more donations, and they're going to have a lot of money to even have gold and silver pots and pans to even to cook with in the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, now again, it's still another pasuk that seems to be good with Rabbi Yochanan, is the fact that some that spoils, because the pasuk says, "V'lo yechanani od beveis Hashem tzavakos." There's no longer going to be a merchant, we're going to say that's Kanani, in the Beis Hamikdash, so the donations of the Beis Hamikdash are going to be so great, again, that you don't even have to start doing business with what the Beis Hamikdash has. The funds are not going to be low on funds, like every yeshiva is low on funds, they're not going to be low on funds. But according to one who says that we're talking about either the first two explanations, my Veloya Kanani, what is the pasuk saying? That there's no longer going to be a merchant in the Beis Hamikdash. Amar Avirmi says, "In kan ani." Don't read it as there's not going to be a Kanani, rather it's a play on words of Ein Kan Ani. There's going to be no one who's poor, and that's what we're talking about over here, that the Kanani is the lashon of Kan Ani. There's not going to be any poor people over here. So the Gemara says, Kanani minal dikre taka, but how do I know that a Kanani can refer to a merchant? Maybe it only means someone who's actually a Kanani, like that we understand, someone who lives in Kanani, Kanani. So the Gemara says, where do I know that there's a precedent that a Kanani can refer to a merchant? The pasuk says, Vayar sham Yehuda bas ish Kanani. Yehuda saw over there the door of a Kanani, and he married her. That's talking about, right, the Kanani that Yehuda marries after Vayered Me'achav. And the Gemara says, my Kanani. So what is the Kanani in this pasuk? Yehuda really married Kanani? Efshar ba Avram ve'izir is Yitzchak. Avram came and warned Yitzchak not to marry a Kanani. Right? Avram told his servant Eliezer to go find him and not make sure he made him a shvua, not to take someone from Nos HaKananim. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "By Yitzchak Ezer Yaakov, and also Yitzchak told Yaakov not to warn a Kanani." Veho Yehuda, Azov Nasim, and Yehuda's gonna know. He knows exactly what his grandfather said. He knows exactly what his great grandfather said. So you're gonna tell me that he's gonna ignore all these words and marry a Kanani? Rather, Elam Rabbi Shimon Malakish Bas Gavra Tagra. It's talking about there was a very chashuv merchant in the town not to marry Yehuda. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Dichsev Kanaan biyado meozne mirme." The pasuk says, "A merchant, a Kanaan with scales, who is cheating people." Meozne mirme is lashon of cheating. In his hands, he's cheating people. So we see over there that the context of Kanani means a merchant. So we see also. So that is a lashon of Kanani. The Gemara continues. Vivais ima mahalcha shares. That the traders who were princes, were merchants, were the chashuv people of the land. We see again the lashon of Kanani being referenced to merchants. That's what we see from these psukim over here. The Gemara continues now. Vaya, so continuing the psukim in Zechariah. Vaya shel melech kol haaretz b'yom ha'shechad ha'shmo'echad. This is pretty famous because we see this every single day in Aleinu. We should know this pasuk pretty well. So the Gemara says, "Atu ha'ina lav echad." Wait a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only time is Mashiach, Hashem is going to be one, His name is going to be one. Hashem is one now, obviously. Hashem is one right now. So what does it mean that He's not one right now? What is the implication that only in the Yom Mashiach is going to be one? So says the Gemara, Amar Vacha Baruch Hu, Nina lo kolam hazeh olam haba. That this world is not like the world to come. And olam haba. Olam hazeh al b'seros tovos omer baruch tov ha-metiv. In this world, when something good happens, we say baruch tov ha-metiv. Something bad happens, omer baruch tov ha-emes. We say, Hashem, you're the true judge. And we say, darn ha-emes. We know what that pasuk is saying. Someone, chas v'shalom, has terrible news. Different things, a death in the family. Then you say baruch tov ha-emes. Chas v'shalom. Olam. But in the world to come, everything is going to be good. Hashem is doing good. There's no such thing, Rashi says, as bad news, and therefore everything is going to be very good. The Tzlach just points out, he has a question. Why does the Gemara focus on the fact that people are going to be mevarech on good or bad? At the end of the day, the Gemara could have just said that there's no bad news in Olam Haba. What does it have to do with the bracha that we make over here? What's going on with the bracha that we make? So he quotes that there explains Rav Ephraim Reisher, he explains the Tzlach Kotzim, that the suffering that Hashem makes in this world, it really is for the eventual good. It's for the good in Olam Haba, but we can't see that in this world. It's hard for us to recognize that. So that's the reference to the brachas. Really, everything Hashem always is good for us. Even Chaz V'Shalom, people suffer in this world. We say Chaz V'Shalom because it's very difficult for people to suffer. Hashem is doing it to fix their averos, whatever it might be, different things Hashem is doing it to make them suffer, to recognize it more. But we don't recognize it as much. And we in the world to come are going to recognize it. As opposed to in Olam Haba, everything is going to be kol kulo good. From the outset, it's going to be good. That's why I once heard a beautiful word that she lived this for. She was 127. Rashi said kol shavim latova. Every 100 years, 20 years, 7 years, everything was good. So you could ask him that. Is it really true? Those 127 years good. She went through a lot of suffering. She went to Mitzrayim. She was taken captive. Avimelech. She was taken all the time. She had a lot of hardship. She had Hagar to deal with. She wouldn't have children. She went through a very hard time. So Rashi says a kol shavim latova. No. She literally, not that she saw after, and when she reflected on her life, and she saw she had Yitzchak, she saw she had Zerah, she saw she had such a holy child, then she realized, l'mafreya, that retroactively everything was good. When she was going through those nisyonos, she recognized everything. That's mamish this idea over here, that's the level of Bechinas Olam Haba, that we recognize everything is good for us, even in the world to come. The Gemara continues with Shmo Echad. On that day, Hashem's name is also going to be one. What does this mean? My Echad, what does it mean? Atu Lav and Shmo Echad, again, is his name one nowadays for us also? So the Gemara continues, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Lo Kolam Hazeh Olam Haba. No, Olam Hazeh is different than Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh Nichtav B'Yud Kei. We read Hashem's name as Yud Kei Vav Kei. V'Nikra B'Alef Dalet. Yet we pronounce it Alef Dalet Nun Yud. We say the name Ammonai. I'm not using the Nun there to not pronounce his name, but we say Ammonai instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Olam Haba Kulo Echad in the world to come, that you can Nikra B'Yud Kei Vav Kei, that you're allowed to actually pronounce it the way of Yud Kei Vav Kei. You ever wonder why it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei? We don't pronounce it like that. So obviously there's very deep inyanim about it. But the Gemara is saying over here that in the Olam Haba, where it's represents Hashem's direct creation of the world. Again, Rambam talks about this. Other speakers, Api Kabbalah, is very big in about this, the Yod Kevav Ke, and pronouncing Aleph Dal Nun Yod. So, just again, that we in this world don't recognize the deepness to that level of that name and what that name represents. So, therefore, we pronounce it Aleph Dal Nun Yod. And it's pointed out, by the way, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us it's even forbidden to spell out the letters. That's why we say it's not like a catchy thing. We say Yod Kevav Ke. Why am I not saying the letter He? Because you're not allowed to say Yod Kevav Ke with that letter He in there. Because we are Machmir, even for just saying it out in that order. So the Gemara, so we see over here that Hashem's name is called differently than the way it is written. It's fascinating. The Dion Rav Avadya wants to bring a raya from here, and we see that sometimes things that are written are different than the way, when it comes to the Yichud of Hashem, that you're allowed to write Yud Kevavke, but you're not allowed to pronounce it like that. So we see that Ksiva, fundamentally for this din, seems to be different than the Dibor of it. Because again, a Sofer, let's say, is allowed to write Yud Kevavke. So he points out, maybe that could be a raya, that a person is allowed, it's a Shaila, in an Achronim, are you allowed to write, it's a sniff, he doesn't use it as a main proof, but at least one of the sniffim he has in this Gemara, is that you're allowed to write your parents' name, you're not allowed to call them by their first name. So let's say your father's name is Reuven, you're not allowed to call him Reuven. Even to other people, that's a Shaila. Can you call him Reuven? If they ask what's your father's name, that's a Shaila. Can you say Reuven? But you're not allowed, definitely to him, you're not allowed to call him Reuven. So you're allowed to write down his name. If you have to fill out a form for him, are you allowed to write that in Reuven? So if Vadi wants to bring a raya from this Gemara, but we see that something written is not necessarily the same as something pronounced, maybe then, and we know that Hashem, that the Mora of your parents is like the Mora Shemai, maybe there might be room to be Mekel. The Gemara continues, the Gemara says, Savar Rava, the Mishnah Papirka. Rava wanted to speak about Hashem's name in the Beis Midrash and give a shir about it. Amar Lei Hosava, Hosava. Tosos and Chulin tells us that Eliyahu Hanavi. Here it would actually make sense like that. Because these are very deep in Yenim, and all of a sudden this old person told him, Le'alam Ksiv, that it's referenced, Le'alam, it's written, meaning it means to hide it, that you should hide Hashem's name. The Pasuk says, Zeshmi Le'olam, Vezezrich Le'dovador, we're pronouncing it, Le'alam is to read as Le'alem, is to hide it. So therefore we're saying Le'alem Ksiv, rather, that you should hide Hashem's name, don't talk about these deep in Yenim. Yeah, in general, the concept of Kabbalah, we're not Dorish, Kabbalah, Barabim. Those are very deep in Yonah that we keep for those who are Ra'ilikach. Ravina Rami. Ravina asks a question, a contradiction in Psukim. Ksiv Zeshmi La'olam. One pasuk says, this is my name, La'olam, which indicates Hashem's name has to be hidden. However, that's, you make mention of my name, every generation implies that you should dafka be mentioning Hashem's name, talking about Hashem's name. Amakarish Baruch Hu, so that's a Ravina answers the question. Hashem says, "Lok shani nichtav ani nikra." My name is not pronounced as is written. Nichtav ani biyud ke. I'm written as yud ke vav ke. V'nikra ani abalaf dalad. Yet I'm pronounced as alaf dalad. Again, this is a reference to the concept that Hashem's name is different in this world, the way that we pronounce it, than the way that is written, and that is the two psukim written out. So now we're up to Makom Shenagu. This pasuk basically, this parak rather, discusses basically minhagim of Erev Pesach, and then gets into a lot of dinim of other minhagim that are not necessarily related to Pesach, agav orche. And so we're ready to start with that. We're ready to start the parak. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Makom Shenagu lasas malacha ba'arve psachim ad chatzos. And we're talking about a place where the people had a minhag even before chatzos ayom to not do work. Osin. So they are allowed to, if they have the minhag, that Shenagu rather than lasas malacha, that they would work on Erev Pesach before chatzos, then you're allowed to work, according to that minhag. So what about after chatzos? So Tosas quote that, for sure, Bizman, based on Migdash, in the Yerushalmi, that even Bizman of the Migdash, and potentially some understand those was even maybe Bizman Azeh, that the Isser would be an Isser Dereisa to work after chatzos. Everyone agrees that it's Usser. So Tosas understand maybe it's even Dereisa. However, the Ritva, the Meiri, the Ran, and seemingly the Rambam, they all seem to hold that this after chatzos is only Derabban, and we possibly like that again, we're still Machmir that you shouldn't really do Malacha on Erev Pesach, getting the exact Kedarim. But really, it's going to be like Chol HaMoed. But Lamaisa, that is a Derabanan, so it might be a little bit more room to make in a crazy tzaracha that a person might need. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, what about Makom Mishnah, rather? Continues, Miss Makom Shenagu Shalola Asos, in a place where they follow the custom not to do Malacha at that time. Enosin, one may not do Malacha. So then you're not allowed to, you have to follow. Haholech Makom Shosin, what if you go from a place where they did Malacha? Lamakom Shenosin, but you're going to be in a place where they don't do Malacha on Erev Pesach. O Makom Shein Osin, Lamakom Shosin, or you're going to a place where they're Machmer, and you're going to places Makil, so you're going to be machmir in the case, meaning in a case where you're going from a place that doesn't do malacha to a place that does, you have to be machmir the chumri makom shalach lasham, and also the place where you're going to go and the places where you will be. So meaning in both cases, you're going to have to be the machmir and be machmir and not do malacha. The Gemara value shana adam, but a person shouldn't do anything different than what everyone else is doing. Don't do differently. Because then other people are going to think you're going to be machmir. The Gemara is going to point out, isn't that just contradict what we just said before? That if you're going from a place which is let's say machmir, a place to make it, you're still machmir, so you are being different than them. That's going to be, the Gemara is going to discuss that later, not till tomorrow's daf. The Gemara says kayotzeba malach per shvius, someone who takes the produce of the shvius. We know shvius is the seventh year. Every seventh year, the halacha is that all the fields in Eretz Yisrael are not allowed to be, you're not allowed to do work to the fields, you're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to do different malachas. So, there's also everything, you have to be mafkir, all of the produce. So I'm once a mafkir, like I'm not allowed to have a fence around it, people allowed to come in, etc., etc. Many dinim of shvius. So when it comes to that, there's a drasha that the pasuk says something along the lines of that lebehemtecha of the chayal echol, something like that. That the pasuk says in Vayikra that a person's animals are eating, which Chazal are dorish that only from one of the times that the animals are still eating can one feed his animals in the house. However, if there's no longer produce available for the animals, you have to take the produce that you have in your house and take it out of your house and put it in front of you. There's a shayla in the Rishonim, is that can I bring it back after that, or do I have to just leave it out there permanently and not allowed to bring it back in? Machlokes Rambam Tosfos. Lamaisa though, this is called biur. That this is called biur is removing your produce at the time where the animal is no longer able to eat outside, that the produce is no longer available outside. So what if over here I'm going from a place, shekala l'makom shelo kala, a place where there was no food, more food for an animal. So let's say there was no more strawberries for the animal, and so therefore I have to take out the ones that I have. However, I'm going to a place where they are still available. So then, shelo kala, omakom shelo kala, makom shekala, or I'm going to a place where they had not been finished yet. I'm going from a place where the strawberries are available to a place where they are mach, where they don't have any strawberries anymore. So nobody has these strawberries. Chayelavar, in both cases, I must remove them. Again, giving me the chumra. The two verses on the Mishnah just points out that this dinim, although they're both machmir in this case, that going from a place that doesn't have it to a place that does, and vice versa as well, going from a place where you had it, but the people don't have it. So those are very fundamentally different. The second case, the latter case, is going to be derabanan, but the first case is deresa because you had to get rid of it. That's a drasha that we're assuming is a drasha deresa. So there's a very interesting din. He says that really that they're grouped together, but lechora there one is deraisa and one is derabanan. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda either way says zivave lecha af ata. We say to him, go and bring yourself. The Gemara is going to discuss what in the world is Rabbi Yehuda saying. We're not going to have to have for a tudap until nun beis. Now the Gemara says, my ira arve pesachim. Why did the Tana single out that erev Pesach you shouldn't do work before chatzos? Afilu arve shabbos arve yom tovim nami, that even an erev Shabbos and erev yom tov that we should be machmir as well before the zman davka of chatzos. The Tana we learn in a brayso osim malacha ba'arve shabbos v'yom tovim. Someone who does Melacha on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, min ha-mincha l'mala. So this mincha l'mala, or we're discussing mincha gedola. Mincha gedola is usually 6.5 hours after the beginning of the day. So that's the mincha that we're discussing over here. And we also lechura ein resim bracha, we're also rounding down, that we're assuming at this point that from mincha is lashon is going to be at least from samach lemincha, which is going to be from chatzos. So therefore, we're assuming that there's generally usher to do malacha on erev Pesach and not just erev Pesach, but rather other chagim as well, and Shabbos to do malacha. So the Gemara says hasam. So in the case of Shabbos, mina mincha lemala v'daser. When is the time that it's usher? Ikardin is not like you thought that 6.5 hours was rounded down. Really, it's usher actually from 6.5 hours, not from the 6th hour. Samach lemincha lo. However, adjacent to mincha, meaning it's not going to be aser, that half hour. Halacha mechazus, here's already from the 12th, meaning from 12 o'clock, it's going to be aser. Inami, also you could give a different explanation. Hasam simon bracha de lo chazi. There, you're not going to see a simon bracha, aval shemuti lo mishanil. We're not going to put you in chayrim. We're not going to excommunicate you for doing work on Erev Pesach. Halacha, shemuti nashanil. It's much more chamor. Erev Pesach, we're so machmir about this, is that we're going to put you in chayrim. Not only are you not going to see bracha, you're going to be put in chayrim for violating the din in front of everybody who's machmir. So the first case, where when it comes to Erev Shabbos and Erev Pesach, at Erev Shabbos and other Yom, not Erev Pesach, we're not going to put you in a chayrim. So Soloveitchik, you should just point out that I think he said that that's like one of the major differences when he felt between America and Europe, that in Europe, Erev Shabbos was a thing. That the Erev Shabbos, people really mamish weren't working. In America, people are working until 5 minutes before Shabbos and running home. Again, people have parnasa and it's mamish, it's a problem, but he was just pointing out that he was lamenting that there's some way to fix it. Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, Friday is the day off. Hopefully they won't change that. Friday is the day off. It's a very big thing. Everyone is off on Fridays. No one's really working. And Fridays is a day off. So that's a very big thing. The Gemara continues, Gufa, going back to the Breisa. This Breisa said also, not just Minhal Minhal Malah, but also Motzei Shabbos. Yom Tov, Motzei Yom Kippurim. Even for Yom Kippur, all these examples, Malkom Sheyesh Shemninu Navira. Even though there's a trace of Avira, Latuya Tanas Tzibur, even on Tanas Tzibur, which some explain, Tafkar. Tisha B'Av, others explain other fast days which were for rain, whatever that day is that you're not supposed to be ainu ro'as in bracha l'olam, you are not supposed to work if you're not going to see any bracha if a person does decide to work. That's the shayla, is it mamish usher? We're just telling you like a warning, like don't, like try not to do it, but like not like mamish usher. The pre-chadash discusses that, like he's mesupak if it's mamish usher, or if it's just simply something we recommend not to do and we're going to give you this a curse, but this I thing that you're not going to have any bracha if you decide to do it. Either way, it's also interesting. What are we talking about? Motzei Yom Kippur and Motzei Shabbos. When is this? This lechor is after Tosefet Shabbos that everyone keeps. This is even, they went even further than that, that you daven before Mariv, that even before that, even that, even if they're davening after this man, let's say the only minyan in town is an hour and a half, way after Rabbeinu Tam, an hour 45 minutes, let's say, after Shkia. So that's when they daven Marv. That's the only time. So you're doing Malacha before then, that's lechor, it's even included in this Gemara over here. The Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Yesh Zarez Veniska. There's someone who is very quick, very, you know, he's not lazy. So, and he's going to be rewarded. Vesh Zari is Benivsan, and there's someone who is very quick, and Zari is, is very, I don't know a good word for it, but not lazy. So that person is going to lose out. Yesh Shafel Venifsan, someone who is lazy and he is rewarded. Yesh Shafel Venifsan, and someone who is lazy and loses out. So the Gemara is going to explain what's going on over here. Zariz Veniskar, someone who is very quick, he works hard. Who is that? So that is the Avid Kule Shabbasa Velo Avid Mala Shabbasa. Someone who works the entire week and doesn't work on Erev Shabbos. He knows his schedule, he knows what he has to take care of, and he takes care of it before Friday. Zariz Veniskar, someone who works a lot and works quickly and is careful. What is, and he loses out. Who is that? Avid Kulei Shabbos of Avid B'man Shabbos. No, he works the entire week. He's a workaholic and he also works Erev Shabbos as well. That he loses out because again, he's not going to be gaining out from Friday. He's not going to see him in bracha even though he thinks he is. Shalva Veniskar, someone who is lazy and he's rewarded. Who is that? He doesn't work all week long and he doesn't work on Friday either. Great. So he gets the bracha of not working on Friday. Shafa Venivsad, someone who loses out and he's lazy. Who is that? He only works like twice a week and whatever, once a week really, and he's working on Erev Shabbos. So that's really bad because then this person is really bad because he shouldn't have to work and he dafka is working on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara continues, Amar Rava, Hana Nashi de Mechoza, the woman of Mechoza, apparently they were very spoiled. Even though they don't work on Erev Shabbos, Meshum Mefugunasu, again, because they were extremely spoiled, they weren't able to work, the Mamash weren't able to do anything. The Gemara has different statements about these Nashi Mechoza, they weren't able to have Tamil Chamaka for them because they were too spoiled. So again, they don't don't work. They're not able to work either any of the day of the week because they're so spoiled. So even though the chiddush over here is that even though the mamish can't, because what is Rava adding that we didn't see before? That someone who's lazy doesn't work on Friday gets a bracha. So what is these nashim mechuzei? No, they physically mamish weren't even able to work. That's the chiddush over here. Even though they're mamish not able to work, that they still get the bracha over here, the bracha that we're discussing of not working on Erev Shabbos. And where continues is Rava Rami has a kasha though. Kasim one pasuk says he's so steer him psukim. Ki gadol achmaim chastecha. Hashem, you are greatness to the heavens. That is your kindness, rather. Your kindness is even above the heavens. So above the heavens, it's like above and beyond, mamish miraculous. So which is it? So how can this be that, again, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above the heavens, and one is only until the heavens? Kan v'osin lishma, that you do mitzvah lishma, for no other purpose other than to fill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's called lishma. V'kan v'osin shol lishma, and shalol lishma, is over here is that a person who does it. So, and again, if you do it lishma, then you're going, Hashem is gonna go above and beyond the heavens. Represents Hashem is gonna ma'al teva for you. That if you go ma'al teva for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He'll go ma'al teva for you. And osin shelo lishma, if you are not, so you do mitzvahs, but not for the right reasoning. That then you'll still, Hashem will give you a reward till the heavens, but not like above and beyond, not like a mamish miraculous things that happen to you. The story I think was brought down in the Bava Sali book, but I think I've heard it told over. A lot of these stories, whether they're true or not, they don't say them about me and you. So the Bava Sali one time was like the last day to do Kiddush Levana. It was the last day to do Kiddush Levana, and he was getting very distraught because his mamash getting close to the last few hours. And finally, like, they see him like moving his hands farther apart, like moving them away. And literally, like, as he was doing that, the clouds like miraculously open. And everyone was able to Kiddush Levana. So people were like, mamash mispala. Obviously, the Baal Sali was doing a lot. It was known to be a miracle worker for a lot of things. So I think he said over that the schus that he had to do that is because, like, a few years earlier, that he had paid, I don't know if it was Eretz Yisrael, maybe when he was visiting Chutz Laretz one time, it was also like one of the last nights to do it, and he paid a large sum of his own money to get, it was one of the last nights, to pay a helicopter to fly up and do Kiddush Levana. So he was Moshe Nefesh to do that mitzvah, so Kosh Baruch Hu let him do above and beyond for the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. Either it's similar to this explanation of the Gemara. The Gemara is Damar Rabbi Marav, Rabbi Yudah, and the name of Rav. La'olam Yasuk Adam B'Torah Mitzvahs Alpech Lishma. Again, so we're now explaining that even doing a mitzvah, Shalol Lishma, here is about Torah, is not learning Torah Lishma, is still a very big thing. Day when you learn not for the sake of the Torah and performing a mitzvah, Kosh Baruch Hu is going to let you do it for their own sake. What does it mean? So Tovah Balishma is going to come for its own sake? Because a big shaila, the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and the Noam HaMelech. When the Chassidish and the Litvish have the same vort, or similar, very similar vorts, then it's mamish mishamayim. Hashem wants that vort to be said over. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that when a person learns all the time shalol lishma, if he goes to the daf yom mishmer only because he wants to finish shas, and no nothing else, people are going to be chavid him in the siyama shas and the big one in MetLife Stadium. That's the only reason he's learning. So it can't be that every single time he wakes up at 5:30 in the morning, that's going to be shalol lishma. There's going to be some lishma in there in that shir. The fact that he enjoyed certain Torah, that he wrote down something, that he learned, it can't be that you won't find 5 minutes of lishma of that guy's learning. So that whole 5 minutes lishma is going to make the whole hour and a half shir, hour shir, half hour shir, how long he's going to the shir, is going to be lishma. That's the vort that the Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Rav Naaman Melech, says a very, very similar thing. Basically the same idea. He just says that when a person does a mitzvah, shalol lishma, it's like a guf below neshama. He's missing, he creates something, creates a guf, but it's below neshama. It's not making the ikar point of the spirituality and the ruchni is that's supposed to drive him further. So he says, Rav Naaman Melech says it's about the tzaddik as opposed to himself. He says that the tzaddik is the one who's male. The tzaddik has the ability to take all everyone else's, and that's what mitos shalol lishma balishma. That when you do shalol lishma, balishma someone else, meaning the tzaddik, the sefer tzaddikim, it's all about the tzaddik in the Noam Melech, is that tzaddik is going to bring up that level of lishma to you and create that neshama in that mitzvah, and therefore you'll get all the schar, and you'll be able to get all the schar. Okay, very fascinating. Someone who works just to his wife should work for him at the mill, which is something that's not, it's beneath her kavod. It's not going to have someone because it's beneath her kavod for her, and also similar things. Schar ishto mekutla, the earrings of his wife, which again is going to the marketplace, which is for merchants to hire, which is again considered degrading, Rashi says. So therefore, recha, so then, aval avda mizamna, so if one wife, so there's, sorry, I skipped the line. So if he does that, Reich Agasa, or the earrings of a mill, offering a hymn for hire, Avda Mizamna. However, if one wife makes and sells, so then, that's actually good. Meaning, if it's something that's not beneath her kavod, that's okay. Sudden Asa Dimkor, she makes something and she sells it. Tanur Abana, we learn in Braisa. Hamishtaker Bekanim Bekankanim, someone who profits from selling different things, a cane or jars. Eino Roa Simon Bracha Lolam, is never going to have any Bracha. Mai Tama came with the Nefesh of Zayo, Shaltabu Eina Bisha. Because it's Eina Bisha, the next one's going to Isha, that it's going to be Ayan Hara. That everyone's going to see all the huge commerce this guy has, he's going to put Ayan Hara, and it's not going to have Simon Bracha. Rabbanan, we learn in another brisa. Tagre simta, people who sell things in public. Alaways magdabahemadaka, those are really small animals. Kotzi lanas tovas, those who cut down very good selling things. Again, nosin ena mechelik yafe, who look at very good portions of it. Inuris and rachel elamai tamak the chazavino, again, it's going to have iron heart. People are going to look at it and put ayin hara on your produce. Tanu Rabban, again, it's best not to stay lechas Hashem lakecha, to have things in private as much as possible. Tanu Rabban, arba prutos ebay msimen bracha le'olam. The four things that are a type of coins are never going to have any bracha. Schar kosin, if you pay the people who write sfarim, schar mektuvanim, the people who speak for you, for the rav, the schar yitomim, and the people who get paid based on taking care of the orphans, umaz abaz v'josiyam, and things imkan coming from overseas. So what in the world is going on? Aveyad, the Gemara says, bishlam, schar mektuvanim, b'shem nehesem, b'shar Shabbos. That looks like schar Shabbos, earning Shabbos wages, which is usher. So since it looks like there's something usher, you're not going to have simon bracha for that. Even it just looks bad. Also, when the money of orphans, I get also labanim mechila nunu, that you can cheat them, you can make a new profit for them and take 50% of the profits, which is a crazy amount. They don't have the right halakhically to disagree with you. So that's very bad. And also relying on people who work from chutzlars to send you money, again, in times of shipping, which is impossible, that was obviously not something that was shayach. El eschar kosin my taima. What is the reasoning that we don't, that the people who are paying the sofrim is not going to get bracha? Rabbi Shimon Levi, esrim v'arba taniyos yoshu anshe knesach zagdola, al kosvei svarim tefillin mezuzot. These fasted 24 times we write tefillin mezuzot. Why? Because shalois asher, they shouldn't come rich, because they did some other mitzvahs. If they became rich, in kosvin, they wouldn't write, and we don't have enough to write, so therefore, we made it, that's why it's not, you're not going to have some bracha for people who are sofrim. Okay, Be'ezr Shashem, we'll pick up with the Tanur Rabbanan tomorrow.